Good morning! It is Wednesday morning, September 2nd, already the second day of September, and boy, I don't know what to say. The weather has turned, it's a little bit cooler, it's feeling autumnal lately. I'm happy about that. I know some of you probably aren't. Not ready to say goodbye to summer. I'm ready to say goodbye to summer weather. I don't know that I'm ready to say goodbye to summer, because the schedule of the fall is coming next week, and it's real. All right, today we're in Psalm 86, and Psalm 86 is a wonderful, very personal and passionate prayer from David, the man after God's own heart, and we will see his heart for God, and it's really a wonderful prayer for us just to pray very straight. It's one of those psalms that doesn't need a whole lot of Old Testament to New Testament interpretation. There's not a whole bunch of place names and people names that we're not familiar with. There's not a whole lot of translation that needs to be made from shifting from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. So it's a wonderful prayer for us, and I think we'll get a lot out of it this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day that you have given to us. Thank you for being faithful to us. Thank you for loving us beyond what we deserve, so much beyond what we deserve. And you are so kind to us, and you love us, and you're so patient with us, and we love you because you have first loved us. And so, Father, we ask that you would be with us today, and that you would give us your grace and help us to understand your word, write it on our hearts, write it on our minds, give us illumination by your Holy Spirit that we might know you better and that we might walk with you in your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 86. All right. Is a prayer of David. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you alone are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever, for great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Amen. Told you it was a beautiful, powerful, personal, passionate prayer. It's great. It's a great model for us of how we should be praying. And you know, the first thing David prays for is that God would listen to him and would answer him. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me. That's the first thing we need from God. We don't want to, when we go to prayer, when we go to prayer, we go to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes the way people talk, especially in our culture, is almost like, you know, the whole thoughts and prayers thing, right? Sending you my thoughts and prayers. Whenever I read that, sending you my thoughts and prayers, I think, well, you can keep your thoughts for yourself, and why don't you send your prayers to God and not to me? Like, it's not just, prayer is not some religious activity that we do to show our piousness or to send positive vibes out into the universe. We're talking to God, our Heavenly Father, and we need to know that He's listening to us and that He will answer us. And the great news for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is that our great high priest, our Savior, our elder brother is sitting at the right hand of God the Father and is ever living to make intercession for us. And He is our anchor for our souls. He has opened up a new and living way for us into the heavenly sanctuary. And so before His presence, we have access to God. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. So even though later He talks about how I am godly and I trust in You, He realizes that He is completely bankrupt for resources for what really He needs from God. He cannot do it himself. David does not believe in a pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of theology. He doesn't believe in self-help righteousness or self-help religiosity. He is one who is throwing himself at the feet of the Lord and saying, I am poor and needy. And that's us. We are the beggars. Those are the final words of Martin Luther. When he died, he wrote half in German and half in Latin. We are beggars. This is true. So the we are beggars was in German, and the this is true was in Latin, itauero. We are beggars, this is true. So what's he asking God for? After this opening line, he's asking God, preserve my life. We see later in the psalm that he's surrounded by enemies, right? He wants to be saved. He wants God to be gracious to him and to gladden the soul of your servant. Gladden the life of your servant. Bring joy to my soul and to my life. Listen, I don't know where you are in terms of 2020 as the year, you know, that's been so strange. Everybody in the news media, on both sides, all sides, however you want to put it, everybody in the news media is out to make you upset and angry and nervous and fearful. Why? Because it's a presidential election year. That's why. And there's one side that wants you fearful, anxious, nervous, and upset so that you'll vote to keep their guy in office. And there's another side that wants you fearful, anxious, worried, and upset so that you'll get that guy out of office and put their guy in office. And there are, you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars spent on presidential elections every 4 years in this country. And part of that ethos, part of that atmosphere is, let's stir up the people, get them so disturbed that they will go out and vote for our guy, because they'll see our guy as the only hope for this country. The only hope for this country is Jesus. And what this country needs is for the church to be the church and salt and light. Anyway, put that aside. Back to Psalm 86. Gladden the soul of your servant. If you're feeling weighed down, burdened, distracted, troubled, anxious, stirred up, pray this to God. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. This is the first of two places in Psalm 86 where David makes a direct appeal to the character of God. What is his ground for asking? He said before, you know, preserve my life, for I am godly, save your servant who trusts in you. But really, his hope of an answer from God is not in himself. He's poor and needy. His hope for an answer for God is in who God is, that God is good and forgiving, abounding in chesed. There's that word again, abounding in chesed to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. And then he goes praising God for who God is and trusting God's promises for what God will do in the world. He declares that there is none like God, nor are there any works like yours. God is utterly unique in his character and in his work, in his person and in his work. God alone is the one true God over all the earth, the maker of heaven and earth, and he is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. There's no one like God. There are lesser powers, both in heaven and on earth. There are principalities and powers in the heavenly places, as Paul says in Ephesians 6. And so there are lesser powers in the heavens, and there are lesser powers on earth, rulers and kings and judges. But none of them is even in the same category as our God. He is unique in who he is and in what he's done. And this wonderful promise here in verse 9, all the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. That should be our fuel for missions. When we go out to do missions, we need to believe that it's God's plan and God's purpose, and we're walking in his ways. We're not just out trying to do our own thing, right? God has promised that all the nations, all the people groups, all the ethnos, all those around the world shall worship before God and shall glorify his name. Because you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. And then here in verse 11, I believe, is the heart of his request. He's prayed for God to spare his life. He's prayed for God to be gracious to him. Listen to my plea for grace, verse 6. He's prayed for God to gladden his soul. But what does he really need? What is the essence of what he needs God to do for his soul? Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Two things that we need God to do for us, that God alone can do for us: to teach us his way. And I picture that as being the truth that we need to know, right? Teach me your way, that I may walk in your truth. How can we live for God if we don't know God's ways, right? Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Head knowledge is no good without a heart that is of single purpose, united in single purpose, and that is to fear the name of the Lord, to walk in faith. To fear your name is to walk in faith and obedience. And the fruit of that will be gratitude and glorifying God. What will come in our lives more and more as God teaches us his ways and as he unites our heart to fear his name? What will be the fruit of that? Well, it will be thankfulness to God with a whole heart, and it will be glory to God's name from a life that he has redeemed. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Then look again down in verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is almost word for word taken from God's revelation of himself to Moses on Mount Sinai. When Moses asked to see the glory of God, God said, no one can see my glory and live, but here's what I'll do. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'll cause all my glory to pass before you, and then I will proclaim my name to you. And the name that God proclaimed is the Lord, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So we find this a couple places in the Psalms, Psalm 103, Psalm 86. There's a few others that I can't remember off the top of my head, but this is God's self-revelation of who he is. He is a God who is merciful and gracious, who is slow to anger and abounding in chesed and faithfulness, steadfast love and faithfulness. Notice that we've got chesed now three times in this psalm. That is that root anchor in God's character that David needs. And so he closes out his prayer, turn to me and be gracious to me, give strength to your servant. And again, in the verse we skipped up in verse 14, we have the circumstance of this psalm, that he's surrounded by ruthless men insolent men who seek his life. People who do not fear God, the enemies of God, are out to get David. And we've talked about this before. We translate that verse to ourselves primarily in thinking about not people, because Paul says in Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood as David did, but instead against the principalities and the powers, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, Satan and his minions who come at us through the world and through our flesh, but we are surrounded and they have risen up against us and they do seek our life and they don't love God or fear God. And so they are real enemies. And so we need to pray this part of the prayer as well. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give me your strength. Give your strength to your servant. Show me a sign of your favor. And the conclusion would be that those, even those who hate me, would see and be put to shame because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. It's a wonderful prayer. And I think the heart of the request that he's asking is really found in verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. And then he needs the strength to walk in that truth, right? Give me your strength. And he needs God's favor, God's grace to walk in that truth. So it's a beautiful prayer. It's one that we can pray again and again. And God never fails to answer when we pray his word back to him. He speaks his word to us. We pray his word back to him. And he is gracious and merciful to answer those prayers. Let's pray to God now. O Lord, our God, Father in heaven, merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, you are the one true God. There is no one like you in heaven or on earth. You alone are our soul's desire. You are our creator and our redeemer. So, Father, we ask that you would hear us and answer us as we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we want to pray this morning what David prayed in Psalm 86. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Give your strength to your servant, the son of your maidservant. Show me your favor. Be gracious to me. Gladden the soul of your servant, that I may rejoice in you. Father, this is what we pray. Teach us. Unite our hearts. Strengthen us. Show us your favor. Guard us. Lead us. That we might give thanks to you and that we might glorify you. For you are our God. There's nothing else we need but you. So be our God today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I hope you have a blessed day and I hope you are able to make it Friday morning for Psalm 87. God be with you.